Hi, my name is Lena Fersch and I have been in love with improvised theater for half my life. Lately, however, things haven't exactly been great. Improv and I were going through a rough patch and I need some outside help. I really want to get the spark back in the relationship. So I decided to talk to improvisers from around the globe to seek advice. How can I make up with improv? Let's find out. My guest this week on this podcast is Simone Schwegler from Zurich in Switzerland. Simone is an improviser, she's a drama educator, and she's the co-owner of a company called An und für sich in Zurich. Her company actually did something pretty amazing recently. They opened a closed theater in Zurich, and I had a lot of questions about that. Also, we discussed remedies against boredom and improvisation, and we talked a lot about balance. Balance in your work, balance in your life, and if you're looking for some balance, you might want to keep listening. Have fun.
I've been there too, more than once, and I think maybe this is something about a long-term relationship, that it's not all happy, healthy, sexy. But on the other hand, that makes it maybe more deep or more, you care more about it. It's not just like, okay, I let it go because it's not interesting anymore. But you say, I'm on a break. So that means it has an option to go back into the relationship.
That's true. But I've heard people tell me, you know, if you're on a break, that's basically a breakup. Have you ever been on a break in a relationship before?
Yes, and it turned out afterwards into a breakup, but I probably would have gone back into it. I see that point, but I'm very astonished because I'm a person who really likes different things and I get inspired by new things, and I think nothing in my life until now I've done so long like improv, and this is something I'm in a train or something, and I realize I'm doing improv for 15 years. I've never done something so long. And then I get kind of scared. And then at the same time, I go, but there must be something in this when I stick still to it. Because for me, it's more than just an art form or a way of living. I see it in all the pieces of my life. It's in myself, it's in my family, it's in my work, it's in my mindset. So it would be really hard to cut it off.
I wonder though, if I should decide that I don't want to go back to it. I don't really see myself making that decision just yet. But if I did come to that conclusion, I just wonder, do you still adapt the, let's say, improvisation lifestyle to everything else, even though you're not an improviser anymore? Maybe you like once an improviser, always an improviser is what I'm thinking. Maybe that just doesn't go away.
That's what I think. I don't think like if you stop being an improviser as work or as a big part of what you do, it's not that you cut off that. If you compare it with a normal relationship, I mean, the good things of what you learned or what you realized being with someone else, you hold with you, and therefore I think for sure you're gonna if you would break up, you're gonna take out the good things, but maybe you're gonna leave all the stress or whatever let you think that you should break up. What makes you think that you should break up with improv?
It's many different things. First off, I was starting to get bored with it a little bit, or not really bored, but I was talking about this before. I think for me, I started lacking commitment to things, or maybe I wasn't that committed in the first place, but now I sort of realize it. I got frustrated with my with the way that I perform, and I thought, I'm making it easy on myself in many ways, because I think I love improvisation as an art form, but sometimes it makes you, or it makes me, I can only talk about myself, but it makes me a bit lazy is what I feel. It's like, it's easy to connect to the audience. It's easy. You can get the audience by doing things that in no other theater show would work. Like you go on a meta level and you comment on what's happening, and that's funny, but it's also easier than really to commit to whatever it is that you're doing on stage right now. I thought that was very impressive with you in the show that you did at the Würzburger Impro Festival in 2019, No Strings Attached. So it's a show with four people, and they're attached to each other in a way that they have like a very specific opinion about each other. And it may change throughout the show, but it's like a 60-minute show in which you just see the relationships sort of develop. I don't know if that makes any sense. But that was the show that Simon was in. And I loved your character in that show. And I thought it was... I remember that you glued a cup to your hand at the end of that show. Just stuck to your hand. And I think you deliberately tried to do that. It was very funny. But it was funny because everyone in that show was just so committed to their characters and so present with everyone else. And I miss that. I would like to be better at that, I think.
What I take out from what you say, getting bored with it, like that's something I know very well myself. If you get too much into a routine, this is really maybe, like a killer thing to keep the relationship fresh. And I know that feeling too, not so much right now because of Corona and all the new situations in Zurich right now. So that's way more the opposite, that like everything is new, and that's also very, very exhausting. But yeah, if you stick to this routine, you get bored. I hate those moments where you feel like you deliver. It's not you don't experiment or you don't explore. It's just like you deliver. And sometimes, I guess, in our jobs, that happens. Like sometimes it's even good that we can go there. Like if you... I don't know, if you are on a paid gig for a big company and you know you have very short time and the expectations are very high, and maybe this is not the moment where you completely experiment with everything. So it's a good thing. But if the balance kind of is not as... If it's too much of delivering or too much of routine, then I get bored. And then I think this is also not real improvisation. Then it's just like, okay, I'm delivering my work. This for me personally, then I lack playfulness, which is a huge motor of my work or my art. Like if I lose playfulness or connection, that's probably the second thing, then it's really hard to stay engaged and motivated and positive and with improv.
Yeah, it really shouldn't be a place of judgment. But it is for me at the moment, I think.
I realize it's with performing and especially teaching. If I teach too much, like too many classes a week or too many similar kind of level classes, it's really dangerous not to fall into delivery modus. Or if the classes are too short, if I don't have enough time to experiment with the class, or I'm exhausted, that's another point where I fall back into this I deliver mode. Then I become more a teacher than a coach, and I just deliver what I know and how it's going. And yeah, I think class where you go out and you feel like I haven't learned something from my students is not a good one. And probably the same with a show. If I know too much what's going to happen and there's no moment of real surprise or real connection, then you go out of the show and feel like, yeah, that was nice. And those shows, they happen and they are part of our work. But if it's too many of those shows and too little of the other shows, then again, the balance kind of is not right.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's a matter of balancing that out. And I do agree, it's good to have these skills of knowing how to deliver, because in some moments it can really save you, especially when you do have a paid gig.
One more thing I realized, which might help you, I'm a big fan of variety, which brings it back to getting bored. Like if I do too many just comedy shows, then I am bored very quickly, although they are funny. But if I do all the time deep art shit, then it's also like I like really, and that's something I love about improv, that you can perform this one to three acted stage play with deep emotions and deep connections and the relationships. But at the same time, you can just be the clown on stage and make everyone laugh. And also, like or that's something I like, what we do here, we have the opportunity to perform, to teach, to inspire, to bring people further in a personal level, which is something I take a lot of energy out of. It's like, it's not just I make them laugh or I show them how they can become better improviser on a just skill matter, but I see how people develop themselves and how people grow and how they are thankful that they can step over some challenges they have. And this is something which brings me a lot of energy back when I feel like, oh, this job is so exhausting. And
So you love teaching then, right?
yeah, I mean, I'm originally a teacher, and I think this teacher heart is still in my chest, as well as the performer heart. And I just find a lot of inspiration from teaching, which I take into performing, and a lot of what I take from performing I can put into teaching. And I love the variety about it. I get bored if I'm teaching too much, and I get bored if I'm performing too much. But again, we come back to this balance. Like, if there's a nice balance between teaching, performing, and doing applied improv, then it's, for me at least, this is the perfect combination to stay engaged and motivated.
But then also the personal life also comes into it, right? Because that's also a matter of balance. Then there's like not only how much do I teach, how much do I perform, how much do I do business gigs, but it's also how much time do I spend working, how much time do I spend with my friends or with my partner or with my family who I might not see enough. You know, there's all these things that go on in your mind. I wonder how you do that. Like do because you're just about to become a mother for the second time, right? So there's big things going on in your personal life. I'm wondering how is I'm not a parent, so I'm really curious. How is that for you, balancing things out between being a parent and and working, because you have a lot of things going on.
Yeah, how is it? I think it's everything is a little fluid. So like my friends are my co-workers, my family. I met my partner doing improv. So it's not completely separated. So for sure that helps mainly, and sometimes it's really
Yeah, but is
hard
it sometimes annoying? Is it
because
sometimes
sometimes
really
it's like,
annoying?
Do I talk to you as my best friend right now, or as the boss of my company? Yes, you need to be very, very clear with, like we always say, with which hat you communicate in our company. Like, is it equal players? Is it boss employee? Is it owners? Is it friends? Because sometimes all those roles, they want very different things from each other. And that brings a lot of complications. But again, the good side is like you spend a lot of time with people you like. And this is not the answer to your question, but I realize if I would be, or I would break up with improv, if I would be a solo improviser, like a person who tours and who just does her things and gets booked. I'm a big team player, and I need my tribe. And I have that here in Zurich very, very much. But I think I would not do what I do right now if that would be something I do by myself as a one-woman company. And how is it to be a parent and work? The exhausting part is like every week is different. So there's little routine, and as my partner is also working not as an employee, so every week we need to see who is where, when.
So you're both freelancing, and that's a lot of organizational stuff.
Yes, and this part is exhausting, especially as we don't have any grandparents or so on our side where we can just have this fallback option. But at the same time, I think being an improviser really helps to be very flexible. And here we have not so much routine because I don't really like routines too much. So at least until now, where our daughter is not in the school system yet, Yeah, we're still pretty flexible, and I think we can also give her something about like, yeah, let's we react on what's happening, and we are open-minded, and that's very nice. And I think it was Sean Kinley who, right before I gave birth to my first child, told me, "Now you're gonna meet the biggest improv teacher of your life." And this is true. Like, kids are great, and I think here, improv really helped me prepare to be a mother, because yeah, you can have plans, but most of the time they're not going to work out. And the more you are just open and react and say yes and to what this little baby brings, the more relaxed you are and the more you have concepts. Until now, I feel like if I know I need to be there in half an hour, and now, obviously, it's not going to work out with a 3.5-year-old who has other interests and needs right then. And sometimes, yeah, you just need to be somewhere. But I think the mindset of, hey, my kid is my partner, and we're collaborating with each other, and we do it in the most playful way, is really nice and really good. I think that is really nice about our relationship, that I don't feel like I know everything and she doesn't know anything and I'm gonna teach her, but way more so, okay, we're learning from each other, and we're inspiring each other, and we try to be in the moment as much as possible. And she really likes to go to the theater. She now, as we were building the new theater, she really had to watch all the pictures of the construction site, and as her godfather is also at Arnum Pfirsich, she met with him and she took her torch to see if the walls are well constructed. So,
And what did she say? Was she happy? Was she happy with the outcome? Well constructed walls?
yeah, the walls were nice. She and she also had like a Zollstock, like where you measure. Yeah, I think it's the biggest gift and the challenge, being a mom and an improviser, organizational wise. Probably it's a very, very big challenge, and I guess it's also a reason why a lot of professional female improviser at some point quit doing improv, because it's just hard to combine with having a family. But also it's the biggest gift, because you can apply a lot what you do on stage in parenting.
It sounds like, yeah, it's nice to hear that improvising is a big gift in all of this.
And I also like what I learned like nearly 4 years ago, before I was way more traveling, and also I had way more this fear of missing out, which happens sometimes, and like everything was focused so much on improv, and that's also very stressful. And here now, as I have this family and I'm a little bit more settled in Zurich, I realized there's also something else. And not only in this huge improv bubble, which also sometimes is very, very exhausting. So it gives me some grounding.
Perspective.
Yeah. Also, there's something else which is very, very important. It puts things a little bit in relations, and it gives me some grounding in like, hey, raising this little kid is also a huge thing in my life, where I want to put a lot of energy. And it inspires me for my work, and vice versa again. Like, this is, I think that's why I
Nice.
feel like everything I do is pretty tied with each other.
Actually have a third baby, which is the new theater, right? You just opened a theater. That's huge. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the best times to open a theater. But yeah, we didn't know that 6 or 7 years ago when this adventure started.
That's crazy. Like 6, 7 years ago, you decided one day we want this, and then you went for it.
Yeah, well, we have in Zurich, we already have a little theater by our own, but this is more like a small place. And when we opened that, it was also like the contract was never over a lot of years. Like, I think we have a Kündigungsfrist of half a year or something.
Yeah, so they can tell you 6 months before you guys have to leave in 6 months.
So it was always very clear, like, we're astonished how long we're now having the theater, but like, we were always aware this is not a solution for the next 50 years. And it's also smaller. And then, yeah, 7 years ago, like, Frank came and said, well, there's this opportunity of this new place which is opening, and they want one part of this huge building to be a cultural place, and we could apply for it. And then this, yeah, that was the beginning. And now we opened it.
That's crazy. So you have your own theater. You had to do a lot of construction on it. Everybody was involved in getting this done. So you had the opening. What did it feel like doing this digitally after so many years of working toward it?
I think for a long time we still had hope that at least like some people could be there live, and the longer the situation went and the longer we waited, the more we realized it's not gonna happen. And luckily we have now this year of experience of online shows, and now in a second semi-lockdown, we're also like, we never stood still. So for sure that helped for the imagination how that could work, and that it works, like that you get audience and everything. But there was a huge discussion, like, do we wait until September, October, whenever? But then at the same time we realized, no, we were so focused. Also because the date was perfect, it was the 4-4-3-2-1, which is just like the perfect countdown. So that would have been a pity, but that was not the only reason for sure, obviously. But yeah, I think it goes back to this improv mindset of, okay, what can we do now? We can put our head in the sand, which is a German term. I don't know if it works in English, but like, we can just get into this victim mode of, yeah, the lockdown and corona, now we can't do it. Or we can go back into our energy and improv spirit and go like, okay, it was not as we expected it. But at the same time, this is the moment, and let's make the best out of it. And how can we make it as big and as nice and as special as possible? Also because it's not only for us and the theater, like, there's also the whole, our fans, our community, everyone.
Definitely, yeah.
And they are bored at home.
Yeah, people are hungry.
And I also feel like a responsibility of like, yeah, we need to do it now, and we need to give people hope and laughter and celebrate with them, although it's not in the way we expected it to be. There were so many people at home watching this show and congratulating and cheering, and on before the whole event, like, hoping and praying with us that the construction site is finished as we planned it. And then again, I was in the lead of the in the organization for this opening part. And it was also very clear it must be special. It cannot be just another digital improv show.
What did you end up doing?
It is a huge building, and it's not only the theater, like, there's also a bar, and our office is there. So we worked together with a very, very nice production company, and they were very nice because also money was an issue. So they were very motivated about the project and were very fair about the price and very committed to, okay, how can we not just we come and we film it and we stream it out. And it became more like a show, not in a theatrical context, but more in a TV setting. Basically, the concept where you get to know the location. Like, where can you be as an audience? Like, in this point of view of, you can come to the theater, but you can also go and eat there, and you can go to the bar, and if you meet us in the office, you need to go there. So there was like a first part where you got to know the building, and us, you would meet all the members of Anum 40 within this first part, But there was also some improv, like on the bar, people could already give inspiration, and there was a little bar scene. And in the office, the next input was like, what would never happen in office? There was a small scene in the office. So mm-hmm. yeah, getting to know improv, getting to know us, getting to know the building, to really emotionally build up to, and now there's the big moment where we're gonna go into the theater for the very first time and hop on stage for the very first time. And the second part was a, let's say, more normal kind of digital improv show. And we had a lot of greetings from people from politics and art. So there was also another visual component.
So they were sending you, like, these, they sent you videos before?
Yeah.
Nice.
That was very nice, yeah. There were two hosts of us, like Alt from Anno Pirsich, who would lead through the evening. It was more like kind of this gala show of getting to know everything. And we had a chat where we had also a chat master. So we were very in contact with the people. They could not only give inspirations for scenes, but also they were very engaged of, I don't know, there's this restaurant where you can eat pizza, and then they could also say like, yeah, my favorite pizza isn't this. So we really wanted mm-hmm. to have this interaction part as big as possible and invite them as much there as possible in those times.
So I have a question. Because I read a little, like a few articles about it. And you didn't have any funding for this, right? Like, you crowdfunded it, but you didn't have any public money or state money to help you through this. Was this like was this clear from the beginning, or did you try and get some funding from Zurich or from Switzerland?
It was not that we would disagree if someone would have offered it, but it's really hard to get public fundings, and improv still is not considered as an art form in the same way as houses of like theater and dance and contemporary art. But at the same time, the independence is also nice. Like, it's, we always knew that we need to look ourselves how we can finance it, and if we get money more than that, that's great, but we cannot rely on the state or the city giving us money for that. Mm-hmm. So that was also a big part in the building up in the last 7 years, like, how can we earn enough money and save enough money that we can finance the theater. And again, we didn't count with Corona and all the money we didn't earn in the last year, and all the money we had to spend for things which would actually, we thought we were going to put in the building of the theater. So yeah, that is still a big challenge. Mm-hmm. And the crowdfunding, we always wanted to do that. Now it's even more important than ever. Yeah, because it's just like, as a company, you need to have fluid money.
Yeah,
and it's the worst moment to spend thousands and ten thousands and hundred thousands of Swiss francs.
But it seems like you also have a big fan base, right? Because people were chipping in to make this possible. Hey,
yeah, we're very, very grateful. Like, that, a lot of people, they see the situation and they support us financially, but also emotionally. Like, it's all our students, our fans. This is not something we could have done without them. It's for sure not the best times to open a theater. But at the same time, I really like the story behind it. And I think that's also why
definitely. That's a story to tell. Yeah.
Why we got a lot of media coverage. Like, hey, now everything is closed. And one one company in cultural lockdown opens a closed theater. This is a nice story to tell, and also, like, I feel a story of not giving up and bravery and real improv, say yes. So that's something I'm very proud of. How can we bring if we're allowed to and the situation allows it, like how can we bring back the things we love and which are important, but again, how can we take the things now from these times? I really wonder, like that's a small thing, we perform way more towards the camera right now, in this setting, like how is this going to change the way we act on stage? I see it with students.
Can you go back to it?
Yeah, and sometimes maybe it's really, I remember like the workshop we did in Würzburg 2 years ago, like where with
Stephen Kieran.
Yeah, I remember that we were performing a lot and he often told us, okay, now speak towards the audience, but don't address him. This is soap opera talking. I think he named it like this, like you want to give the person your face and they don't want to see you on the from the side. And this happens now all the time because you're just way more aware on towards where you perform. And if you play live with stream with more than one camera, even more, like there's a conscious of more kind of a visual way of performing. So quality-wise, I think we can really bring that back on stage in live situations and be more aware of in which direction do we perform, like what do I want people to see. And right now it's really inspiring that students take their laptop and run through their flats because it's a police scene and they're just running after someone. And I'm, as a teacher, I'm watching and feeling like, whoa, this is so inspiring and cool. Like we can, acting-wise, do things which were not possible in this normal setting. Or it would look differently. So yeah, what can we take out of what we learned in the last year and adapt it to the old situation we're all longing back?
I mean, yeah, like best case scenario, we just take from all the worlds and bring it together and just for, you know, just make the thing that we do a little bit richer. It can happen with anything. In this case, it's Corona. It's a crisis that forces us to do things a little bit differently. But we will be able to take back. I think so too. And I think maybe sometimes it's good to be pushed in a certain direction, right? Maybe it doesn't have to be a pandemic. Let's face it. It doesn't have to be a pandemic.
But like we as humans, we're just like we're very resistant to change. Maybe as improvisers, a little less, but still, we're resistant to change.
But still, definitely.
We really like our comfort zones. So it is that it needs to be from the outside. And again, it must not be like a global pandemic and a situation like this. But I see it in my whole surrounding, how people are able to adapt so quickly because of the situation. And so, we need...
Like people, like non-improvisers as well, just people who have to adapt and they will?
Yeah. And I think around my improv people, I see it that for most of the people, it's easier than my 80-year-old father, obviously. But at the same time, it pushes us a little bit out of our comfort zones. And now I think that's our responsibility. How much can I take it as a challenge or as something I fall into a victim mode. And I think that's really dependent from day to day. I think it's not something either. I'm gonna profit very much from that. Thank you, world and situation, that you pushed me out of my comfort zone. But I hope that's really something I hope deeply, that a few years later we can all look back to this situation and realize, okay, that was a moment of growth.
I have a question for you, because you just said maybe for improvisers it's a little bit less scary that change happens, but it can still be scary. Is there, like, I'm wondering, is there something that you look back to where you went, oh no, I was really afraid of that change and I didn't want to make it, and now I'm happy that it did happen?
Like in life in general?
Yeah.
I was a primary teacher and did a lot of theater on the side. Like I would work part-time as a primary teacher and part-time as an improviser also to earn some money and to build up my career. And also because I really like teaching. It's not something, it was not only like just a money job. And then I applied for a job at my school with someone else. And after a few years of teaching there and being very engaged and motivated, and I didn't get the job, and someone else from the outside got it. And I was really sad, like also on a personal level, but also I was really scared because I knew that means I'm going to quit. I'm going to, this is the moment now where I stop teaching and put all the energy in acting and improvising. And I would have not done this step by myself because obviously I applied for a job which would have been another, I don't know, at least one, but probably 3 years of being bound to that school at least 2 or 3 days a week. And the dean of the school, which was the person who decided that I don't get the job, and also the way how it was communicated was not very nice, but that's another story. She came to my room and she said, look, in a very motherly way, you're not understanding it right now, and I understand that you're sad, but you're going to be happy one day about this decision. Which was the worst
to hear. Sounds a little bit patronizing also.
Worst to hear from this person at this moment. But looking back at the situation many years later, she was absolutely right. She said, look, you're burning for theater, and this is also an opportunity. And it was. But I was super scared. I would have at least with one leg be back in this comfort zone, safety, money-wise situation, which also limited me to go 100% in the other direction. So yeah, like many, many years later, I'm very grateful for this decision. And she was right. And the way it was communicated is still shitty. But yeah, she decided well, and I would have not made the step myself.
I have a little game, because most of the listeners won't know this. Simone and I once lived on the same street in Canada for how many months, like 4 or 5, I think. Because we were like, what was it? And not really an internship at Loose Moose Theatre, but we were guesting with Loose Moose Theatre in Calgary for the time, in a group of Europeans that hopped on a plane to Calgary and just lived there for a while. And so we got to spend a lot of time together then. And I have a test of friendship. It's nothing less than a test of friendship that I've just prepared. It's really simple. You know the game Convergence, where you converge words? It goes like this. We count down from 3, 3, 2, 1, and we each say a word, a random word. And then we both try to get into the head of the other person and say one word that connects the two words that the other person would think of. So that's the test of friendship. And then when we don't get it, we try again with the new words that we just said. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a word in mind?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so it goes.
Three, two, one. Fridge.
Tooth. Fridge and tooth. Okay.
Three, two, one. Milk.
Milk. Yes, we got it. We got it on the second round. Maybe we should do another. I'm not sure if we should do another one because this, like, we can say we definitely passed the test of friendship because we had it like on the first go. But we can do another one to see if this is if like we have an extra strong friendship. This is the deluxe version of the game.
Now the pressure is on.
Yeah, I'm all about the pressure. Let's do it.
Great.
Okay. All right.
Three, two, one. Firefighter.
Okay. Three, two, one. Cat.
Paw Patrol.
Oh, what was that?
Paw Patrol. It's a parent thing. It's a series about little animals being policemen and saving people.
That sounds cute. Okay, so Paw Patrol. I had cat. Okay.
Three, two, one.
Peppa mouse. Pig. So I just said Peppa Pig and you said mouse. Okay, great.
Three, two, one. Mickey Mouse.
Yay! We did it. We achieved it.
Yeah, I think people should just all go to Calgary and live together for a while.
Yep, everybody should go.
Do you remember the Swiss sentence I taught you back then?
Yes. Weißt, ich bin eben eine Künstlerin.
Which means, you know, I'm an artist.
Thank you so much for talking to me, Simon. It's been really nice catching up, learning about the projects that go on in your life, learning about your stance on improvisation. I think it's very inspiring. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, Lynn. And I really hope that you find time and space to talk with improv. Because sometimes when you're in a break with someone, you also just run away and try to hide. I think I don't have a recipe, but just be open of what happens.
Thank you so much. It's been really fun catching up.
Thank you.
That was my talk with Simon Schwiegler. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. Also, there's one more thing. This podcast is produced by the Association of the Würzburger Improtheater Festival. Many of you might know our main annual event that usually happens at the end of October. This year, however, it's going to happen in July, so make sure to check out our website for more info. But we also organize various other projects throughout the entire year. For instance, this podcast. If you'd like to support our work, you can help us with a donation. You can donate via PayPal. That's paypal.me/improvfestival or directly to our bank account. For more info, visit the link in the description. Thank you so much and have a great day wherever you are on this planet.